Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. profoundly changed America with his nonviolent resistance to racial segregation and discrimination, but his philosophy and theology include some dubious beliefs and influences. In this installment of our Philosophers series, we consider how evangelicals should view this complicated African-American leader whose birthday is now marked by a national holiday. In this issue, you'll also find insightful articles on the biblical view of divorce and remarriage. How should Christians handle tithing in the current economic climate, the internet mission field, and all of our regular features that you've come to enjoy?
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises. Starting at just $599, cabins are going quickly. So register soon by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to equip.org. Thanks for tuning in once again to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry dedicated to proclaiming essential Christian doctrine and for providing a reasoned defense for historic Christianity with gentleness and respect. And now, from the headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. One of the resources available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute of profound import is Resurrection: Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. Of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest feat in history. Without the resurrection, the Apostle Paul says, we have no hope. Our preaching is useless, so is your faith. Paul goes on to say, then even those who have died are lost. Even if you die in Christ, you're lost. Why? Because if Christ has not been raised, we have no hope for the future. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is historic and evidential, and in Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History, I give you the evidence in memorable format for what we believe with respect to the resurrection, and why we believe it, and why what we believe with respect to the resurrection is the absolute certainty pertaining to your resurrection as well. Remember the words of Jesus Christ, who said, do not be amazed at this, a time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. Resurrection, the greatest feat in history, memorable keys to this great feat, available in a laminated 4x6 flip chart, easy to put in your pocket or purse, easy to memorize or assimilate, available on the World Wide Web at equip.org for your gift to the ministry. Also available when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 in the letters CRI. First up today, Colin, listening in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Colin.
Hi, Hank. I appreciate you taking my call.
My pleasure.
I appreciate not only the time you take to answer people's questions, but also the Christian Research Journal. Very, very well documented.
Thank you.
the question I have for you today is about Brian McLaren. Just wanting to see, in your opinion, what are some of the items of theology that he has that have gone astray from historical Christian faith, as well as what are some of the consistencies that he has with the historical Christian faith?
Yeah, we've actually written about this in an article in the Christian Research Journal, which you referenced. Mm-hmm. And the title of the article is called Navigating the Emerging Church Highway.
Okay.
So that's one article you'll want to get. I think it's up on the World Wide Web at equip.org. But here's the deal with Brian McLaren. He's an emergent liberal, which is to say that orthodoxy ought to be the lens through which he views the world, but it is not. The new Christianity he is proposing is anything but new. It is the age-old lie, because ultimately it is the abdication of truth. We say truth matters. He says, what is truth? Truth is emerging, and therefore we cannot really know what is true, except that the orthodoxy that the historic Christian faith has embraced as essential Christian doctrine is suspect. He thinks that's true. So he does not hold to orthodoxy as the lens through which we view the world, whereas I would say that that is the very line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. So, for example, I hold to the revelation of God as one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. Now, in saying that, I am simply saying the Bible teaches that, I apprehend it, and therefore I humbly bow my knee before it. I'm not saying I comprehend it, nor do I get stuck in my own linguistic hall of mirrors. I mean, there's a lot of the Trinity that I simply cannot, as a finite human being, comprehend. But I do hold the Trinity to be God's revelation of himself to me. I think in a similar fashion, you have emergent liberals, from Brian McLaren to Rob Bell, who cast real doubt on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or cast real doubt on the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Rob Bell, for example, speculates that if Jesus had a real earthly biological father, and that father was named Larry, and archaeologists found Larry's tomb and did DNA samples and proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that the virgin birth was really just a bit of mythologizing that the gospel writers threw in to appeal to followers of Mithra, we wouldn't lose any significant part of our faith, because it's all about how we live. So here is an emergent liberal calling into question the veracity of incarnation, and in the process saying, without denying the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, saying that it really doesn't really matter. Of course, the alternative to the to the virgin birth is that Jesus was conceived by a sexually promiscuous woman. So these people get themselves into a quagmire without thinking out their thoughts to their logical conclusion. But again, we've written about this in the Christian Research Journal.
Okay. All right. So you're saying that the sort of cast doubt on what is truth by asking that exact question, what is truth, rather than holding to core truths of Christianity.
Yeah, and he's unwilling, for example, to say that homosexual activity is sinful and that Christians should not proclaim on this subject at this point, although he is now proclaiming on this subject at this point. We read the Bible, and the Bible's very, very clear. It's unambiguous on this point. So just as adultery is an aberrant lifestyle, so homosexuality is an aberrant lifestyle. And the Bible is very clear, and we bow our knee before the Creator and say, you know how we are designed to live. You put parameters around our life so that our joy might be complete. And again, we follow your way rather than doing it our own way. He's saying, well, I'm not so sure that we should be making proclamations at this point. Why? Because truth is always undergoing a metamorphosis. So you can't really know at one epoch of history what is true, because truth is in a process of evolving. And again, he endorses liberal scholars, including John Dominic Crossan and Marcus Borg of the Jesus Seminar. He wrote a foreword to a recent book that promotes universalism and denies the existence of hell. So I think he's a guy you really have to watch out for.
Okay. Well, thanks for your time, Hank.
You got it, Colin. Appreciate your question. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Cheryl, listening on XM 170, Detroit, Michigan. Hi, Cheryl.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My question is that I have a 14-year-old son, and he was spoken by many people, including pastors, as being someone who was anointed when he was a baby and a young boy. And now at the age of 14, he has basically tried to denounce Christianity. He's questioning the existence of God, saying he wants proof, facts. He doesn't want someone to tell him that you have to have faith. He's asking, how do we know the Bible is authentic and not just some guy's opinion? How do we know Christianity is truly the one right way and all the other religions are not? You can't get salvation any other way but through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think this is a really important question. I would say, first of all, what a tremendous opportunity. I was at that place in my own life when I was 14 years of age, and I can still remember being brushed off, not getting credible answers to my questions. He's absolutely right. We should have faith, but not blind faith. We should have faith in evidence. And that's the whole point of the Christian faith. It's historic and evidential. It's not a blind faith. It's faith in evidence. So we need to always be aware of the fact that if we have good answers, we can reach someone like your son, use those answers as springboards or opportunities to share the gospel. Now, he could still reject the gospel, but in my case, when people came up with answers, I did not reject the gospel. I received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of my life, and that would be my prayer for your son as well. Again, I rejected Jesus Christ until I was 29 years of age, so have hope for your son. We'll be right back with more of the broadcast.
Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologists Lee Strobel, Dr. James White, Steve Kreloff, and others as they present the God-breathed, unparalleled, and absolute authority of Scripture and challenge skeptics at CRI's national conference, The Battle for the Bible. Inspirational worship led by Grammy Award-winning composer Steve Camp. Highlighting this event will be a debate moderated by Hank between Dr. James White and Jesus Seminar scholar Dr. Robert Price. The subject is The Bible True? Plan now to attend The Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss, May 6th through 8th at the Ennisbrook Resort and Golf Club in beautiful Tampa, Florida. For more information and to register, visit us online at equip.org or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. We'll be back with more of The Bible Answer Man after this short break. From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth. Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankrenem series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenem Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. Do you ever find yourself in such a hurry that you come to God in prayer with a list of requests, and before your knees ever touch the ground, you're already thinking about the next thing you need to do? Many Christians struggle to have a meaningful and effective prayer life, but so often we get it backwards. We want a relationship with God without investing any time into that relationship. Hank Hanegraaff gives you the solution in The Prayer of Jesus. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. Now, back to the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
And just a couple of comments about the question Cheryl asked about her 14-year-old son, that Jesus taught that there was only one way to God, and he's questioning the notion that there's only one way to God. But if you can demonstrate that Jesus Christ is God, then his word or his words are infinitely more valuable or meaningful than the words of any other human teacher. And he did say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. His claim is validated by his life. The opinions of all other religious leaders are equally valid in that they are equally worthless. They died, they're still dead. Only Jesus had the power to lay down his life and to take it up again. Thus, his opinion has more value than theirs. Again, for all kids today who are questioning Christianity, don't curse that darkness. Build a lighthouse. Learn how to communicate that the historic Christian faith is indeed that, historic and evidential. You can demonstrate that God created the universe. The idea of philosophical naturalism simply does not hold in an age of scientific enlightenment. Nothing cannot produce everything. An uncaused cause produced the universe in which we live. And you can demonstrate that the one who spoke and the limitless galaxies leapt into existence condescended to cloak himself in human flesh. You can also demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. But again, if we don't have answers or we brush kids off with empty answers, no wonder 80% of kids who once grew up in Christian homes are not darkening the doorways of churches. The problem is we're not equipped. That's what we do on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We equip God's people so that they can use their well-reasoned answer as a springboard or an opportunity to share the grace and truth and love that only Jesus Christ brings to the human heart. Why is the culture devolving? It's because the salt has lost its saltiness. And as Jesus said, is no longer good for anything to be thrown out and trampled by men. We're the light of the world. But if we're not ambassadors for Jesus Christ, well, the world will not have the opportunity to be reconciled to Christ. Why? Because God has chosen to use us as ambassadors for Him. He has chosen, condescended to use human agency. So be an informed Christian, ready always to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. And if you don't know the answer, have the humility to say, good question, I don't know the answer, but I'm going to research and return. And again, we would love to be a resource to you in that process. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Gabriel, listening on WCRV in Mississippi. Hi, Gabriel.
Yes, thank you, Hank, for taking my question.
Pleasure.
My question has to do with chapter 4 in Matthew, verses 5, 8, and 9, where the devil takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and to a high mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Was that in spirit or was that physically? And then the second part of my question is, how could Satan give the kingdoms to Jesus? Why and how were the kingdoms of the world given to Satan?
Well, Satan doesn't have the kingdoms of this world. This is the kingdom of our Lord, and He reigns forever and ever. The kingdoms of this world are the kingdoms of our Lord, and Satan is an imposter. Satan, whose name means adversary, is the god of this age only in the sense that he is the supreme exemplar of evil. That's what Jesus Christ said. He was a murderer from the beginning. Not holding to the truth, there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. He is a liar and the father of lies. So he is the de facto ruler of all who willingly subject themselves to his masterful plan of deceit. But he's not, in fact, the ruler of this world. God owns all things.
Okay. Was Jesus taken physically to the temple, on the pinnacle of the temple, and to the high mountain, or was that in spirit?
Well, Jesus was taken in the spirit, number one, and number two, he was being tempted by Satan, just as Satan tempts us. Now, Jesus did not have a sin nature, and therefore Jesus didn't for a moment fantasize about the temptation. In fact, if you read the text, Jesus continually answered Satan's temptations with the Word of God. It is written. So he appealed to the final arbitration of truth, which is his very word, given to us, which Jesus quotes back to Satan.
Okay.
And I've actually written about this temptation in my book, The Covering. I've pointed out that this was the ultimate spiritual battle, and that the creator of the universe was alone and hungry, and that the most powerful creature in the universe was poised and ready to strike. But Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And sensing vulnerability as a result of that, Satan, the imposter, seizes the moment, and he says, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And then Jesus doesn't unveil his divine glory, but what he does is he takes up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So he defeats Satan's temptations as an exemplar to us through the use of the Word of God. And that becomes the means through which we also can defeat Satan.
Okay. All right, well, thank you for your answer.
You got it. And again, the text presupposes a supernatural vision is taking place here, for standing on a high mountain would not in itself, of course, provide a glimpse of all the kingdoms of the world. So you have a supernatural vision that's going on. But I think in the end, we are also warned as believers that armed with the puny sword of reason, we ultimately stand impotent before an arch fiend who has studied us thoroughly and is intimately acquainted with all our vulnerabilities. Conversely, if we are armed with the sword of the Spirit, we are a terror to Satan, and we can stand strong in the face of his fiercest temptations. It's a reminder that the Word of God is not forged by human hands, but by the Spirit. That's why we call it the sword of the Spirit. He gives the sword its edge. He alone can teach us how to rightly use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so we're reminded that it's not enough to have the Word in our homes or in our hands. We must deftly wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on the battlefield of life. If you're not reading through the Word of God as a believer, you're missing 66 love letters etched in heavenly handwriting. And I implore you not to be part of the problem, but be part of the solution. Here's the deal. Biblical illiteracy is not a problem. It is the problem. And the problem is many people listening to my voice right now are biblically illiterate because they have chosen not to read through the Word of God. We have a legacy reading plan that will help you, teach you to read the Bible not in bits, but rather read through the Bible in books. If you're leaving us right now, you can catch the rest of the broadcast on XM 170 satellite radio, or you can listen to the rest of the broadcast on www.equip.org. If you're listening to our full 1 hour show, please don't touch that dial because we'll be right back with more of the broadcast.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound book packed with answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity when you call 888-7000-CRI. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. Order on our secure website at www.equip.org. We'll return to the program in just a few moments. For centuries, two questions have challenged the Christian faith.
In a world with thousands of religions and gods, why is Jesus the only way to salvation? How could a loving God, the God of the Bible, create a world filled with evil and suffering?
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Faith examines two of the biggest objections to Christianity: emotional barriers to faith that have challenged believers and skeptics alike. The Case for Faith DVD also includes more than an hour of specially produced bonus features that will help you face the toughest questions about God and the Christian life.
Order The Case for Faith, The Case for Christ, and The Case for a Creator DVDs in the Lee Strobel 3-disc collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
Every day at the Christian Research Institute, we're encouraged to hear from listeners who share how their lives have been radically changed through the broadcast ministry of CRI and the Bible Answer Man program, and we're excited to help stimulate change agents around the globe. But ministry, especially broadcast radio, requires enormous resources. If the Bible Answer Man program has ministered to you, would you consider standing with us both prayerfully and financially? To donate, call us at 888-7000-274 or visit us on our website at equip.org. And now, back to the program with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And before we go to the callers, I want to mention quickly that we are on the air daily across the United States and Canada because truth matters. You, if you listen to this broadcast, expect candid, biblically-based answers to your most pressing questions, and we give you those answers. We do what we do, not to be politically correct, but because truth matters. But please recognize that broadcasting and research is not free. So we need your help to stay on the air and to do life-changing primary research. Your regular monthly support forms the financial backbone for this ministry. It allows us to continue broadcast and research ministries. If you've been blessed by the broadcast, consider joining our monthly support team. For your commitment to give faithfully, I'd like to send you a hand-picked resource from our library. This month, that resource is the Feet Flip Chart, laminated, 4x6, fits in your pocket or purse, and gives you, in a memorable format, the keys to the greatest feat in the annals of recorded history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which ensures your resurrection as well. But please know that your giving impacts lives around the globe for both time and for eternity. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Teresa, listening on KSIV in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Nice talking to you.
No, thank you. I'm wondering how to best respond to a very kind and well-intentioned letter I got from a relative. I grew up in the Catholic Church. Most of my relatives are Catholic, but I left several years ago because I did not know the Lord, but I do now, and I go to a wonderful non-denominational evangelical church. And I got a letter from a relative who's studying to be a Catholic priest saying that hopefully I will come back someday so that I can take advantage of the sacrament of confession of my sins to a priest. And he gave me the verse John 20:23. And I was wondering how to best respond.
Well, John 20:23, of course, is used by Roman Catholics, but it could be used by anyone. If you forgive anyone, says Jesus, his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. This is not for Catholic priests. This is for everyone. Because we do not have the power to forgive sins. We have the power to pronounce that one's sins are forgiven based on their trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So we, the priesthood of all believers, can say to someone, your sins are forgiven. Again, not based on our power to forgive, but based on their trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Christ is present to forgive sins with everyone who proclaims the gospel in his name. And that's why, as believers, we say this is the priesthood of all believers. And we don't say that as an empty boast, but we say that because that is how the Bible teaches us to speak. We don't believe in a priest, but the priesthood of all believers. In fact, in the New Testament, Peter uses the very words that were assigned to Levitical priests and assigns them to people who are part of the kingdom of God, who have entered that kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ.
What, is there a particular, verse could you give me to go with that where Peter says that?
Well, Peter in 1 Peter talks about the fact that we are a priesthood of all believers. And therefore, as the priesthood of all believers, we are commissioned by God to share his glories with the world.
Yeah, that's great. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Well, it really is.
Thank you very much for your help.
You got it. Thank you so
okay,
much for your
bye.
Call. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Vernon, listening in Missouri. Hi, Vernon.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I just doing all right. I just got a question concerning 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about the head covering, women wearing head coverings to church or when they pray. And I know a lot of conservative churches require that the woman to wear a covering, although later on in the chapter it states that the woman's hair was given for a covering. And I was just wanting to know, is it necessary for a Christian woman to have her head covered, or
No, this is speaking about spiritual authority, and in context, it talks about angels who have a high view of spiritual authority and are offended when that spiritual authority is breached. And we should have that same high view of spiritual authority. That's why a man realizes that God is his spiritual authority. And that's why God gives relationships with people so that as a man, I can be someone who, submitted to God, can provide a covering for my wife. But this same text says, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, but on the other hand, man is not independent of woman. For from woman comes man. So also man is born of woman. We need one another, and the point here ultimately has to do with spiritual authority.
Okay.
So the principle behind the custom of a woman having her head covered is an absolute principle. The custom or the way in which it's carried out is not absolute, and therefore women do not have to have head coverings when they go to church.
Okay. All right. What about cutting a woman cutting her hair? It also says that in that same chapter. Is it a sin for a woman to cut and style her hair, or is that also?
Well, no, the idea here ultimately has to do with the blurring of the sexes. We should not blur the sexes. Women should be women and men should be men. And God has created us in a particular way, and we shouldn't blur those distinctions.
Okay. All right, yeah, that answers my questions.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
You got it. Appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Krista, listening on Bot Radio in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Hi, Krista.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Thanks. Good. Thanks so much for taking my question.
Pleasure.
I was going to what I believe to be a Word of Faith church. My children go to a Christian school that I'm beginning to believe is the same doctrine. One of the questions that they're asked on their spiritual assessment every year is, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues? When I went down front at church one time, they said, if you want the infilling, if you want to speak in tongues, come down, we'll lay hands on you, things like that. When I got down there, and I'm you know, being as open to this as I can be, they were saying that I just needed to start speaking and just kind of let go of myself and just start speaking whatever I thought, whether it be blah, 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 or yada, 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 and that God would in turn turn that into my speaking in tongues. I don't agree with that, but then I have family who talks about praying in the Spirit. My question is, one, is that legitimate? And two, if it is, how do I do that? And what is the difference between speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit?
Well, again, the way people use phrases is differently. It certainly is legitimate to say that you are praying in the Spirit, but what do you mean by that? If my prayers are empowered by the Spirit in the same way that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, then I am praying not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, which is to say I'm recognizing that everything is subsumed under the sovereignty of God. But this notion of baptism in the Holy Spirit is likewise fraught with bad interpretations. People say to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is evidenced by the speaking of tongues. And I would say no. Speaking in tongues may be a manifestation of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, but to say it is the evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is simply not true. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit means to be infilled by the Holy Spirit, so that what you do, again, is not by might nor by power, but rather by His Spirit. I wish I could say more. I've written about that in various places, Krista, but you can, if you hang on, we can get that information out to you. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Get ready to set sail for the adventure of a lifetime. Don't miss our Western Caribbean cruise May 9th through 16th, just a few weeks away. Sailing out of Tampa Bay, Florida, you'll join Hank Hanegraaff and award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp for 7 packed days of worship and study on board the stately Carnival Legend. Hank will teach daily on the inerrancy of God's Word, the relationship of the Bible and tradition, and the application of Scripture to today's most pressing issues. Incredibly low rates include all conference fees, accommodations, and dining. Dates in May make it a perfect way to honor mothers or celebrate special graduates. Adventure awaits you and your family. So for more information or to register today, go to our website at equip.org. Or call our friends at Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back, so don't go away.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
Is the Antichrist alive today?
Will the temple be rebuilt?
Are we living in the tribulation?
What is the mark of the beast?
Is Armageddon just around the corner? These questions and many others burn in the minds of millions. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. Yet the secret to understanding the last book of the Bible is not current events or recent history, but within the rest of the Bible. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions. Much more, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much today. Yet it does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code unravels the mystery of current and future events and paves a path in scripture interpretation. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it on our website at equip.org.
Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises. Starting at just $599, cabins are going quickly. So register soon by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to equip.org. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. profoundly changed America with his nonviolent resistance to racial segregation and discrimination, but his philosophy and theology include some dubious beliefs and influences. In this installment of our Philosophers series, we consider how evangelicals should view this complicated African-American leader whose birthday is now marked by a national holiday. In this issue, you'll also find insightful articles on the biblical view of divorce and remarriage. How should Christians handle tithing in the current economic climate? The Internet mission field, and all of our regular features that you've come to enjoy. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-274. Now back to more of your questions and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And do remember that we are the priesthood of all believers. Remember when the Shekinah glory of God departed the second temple, leaving it desolate? The Shekinah glory of God would never again descend upon a temple constructed of lifeless stones. It forever dwells within the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God. You find that in 1 Peter 2:4. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are the temple of God, built of living stones, comprised of Jew and Gentile, Jesus Christ himself as the capstone. In the New Testament, through Jesus Christ, we find the fulfillment of all the types and shadows that went before. So today we do not go to the priest. We realize ourselves as believers being a priesthood that is called to make the way and will of God plain to a lost and searching world. Let me go back to the phone lines, talk to Betty in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Hank. I appreciate your knowledge, and I listen to you every day. But this is one question. Why did Jesus call Judas friend? And Matthew 26:50?
Yeah. What an ironic situation, because here Judas comes. He's one of the 12, and with him are a large crowd. That crowd is armed with swords and clubs, and the crowd has been sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. So Judas comes to Jesus as a betrayer, and he has arranged a signal ahead of time. The one I kiss is the man
arrest that man. And so he goes to Jesus and he says, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kisses Jesus. So Jesus responds in kind. He says, "Friend, do what you came for." So Jesus knows that Judas is pretending to be a friend and using the signal of a kiss to betray him. So again, he's responding in ironic fashion. He absolutely knows why Judas is there, and so that greeting "friend" would also be a greeting that is steeped in irony. It's an ironic response to a betrayer.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And I was listening to the station, and it's a lady, Priscilla, I don't know her last name, but she has a book out saying One in a Million, and she's saying only two made it to the promised land, and I know it was more than two.
Well, yeah, talking about all of the, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that had gone in to search out the land that ended up going into the land. Even Moses didn't go into the land. That's probably what she's referring to there. But yeah,
okay.
You're absolutely right. I mean, eventually the Jews that did not believe died in the wilderness, and it was their children that inherited the promised land.
That's right. I remember reading that.
Yeah.
Okay, but thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Misty, listening on XM170 in Lubbock, Texas. Hi, Misty.
Hi, Hank. Okay, well, I have a two-part question. I was watching Jesse Duplantis last night, and he started speaking about a trip he had to heaven. And even though he seems kind of full of it, I found it comforting because I had a miscarriage, and he spoke about, you know, there being babies and stuff in heaven. And I just wonder what your opinion was on it, whether or not he went to heaven, and also if when we die, if we go to heaven or hell, or if we sleep until Jesus comes again.
Well, when we die, we're absent from the body and present with the Lord. Our body goes to the ground, but we have conscious existence after death in the presence of God.
And that's what I've always believed, but sometimes in the Bible, it's confusing about that.
Well, the Bible's pretty clear about that. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, but the Bible is also communicating that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back at the end of time, that the soul will return to the body. And we will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Because when a woman gives birth to a child, Misty, she gives birth to a body-soul unity. That's what it means to be human. So when we're separated from the body, we're incomplete. We're awaiting the time that Jesus comes back at the end of time. And at that time, Jesus says, "Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned." We will, at that point, be resurrected. The spirit will return to the body, and that body will rise, as 1 Corinthians 15 puts it, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. We'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye.
Okay. Well, do you think that people who are alive, like Jesse Duplantis as a preacher, you think they can just go to heaven and see it? I mean, do you think that that's accurate, or?
No, I don't think it's accurate. In fact, if you look at the Bible, you have the Apostle Paul, who goes to the third heaven. Now, he's an apostle. He's the apostle to the Gentiles who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, and yet Paul does not tell us anything about his experience in fellowship with God. Therefore, this experience is not only not normative, but it is something that we are not called to use as a way of explaining what heaven is like, because the Bible is the final, the infallible repository for redemptive revelation, and the Bible speaks to us today. We are to go to the Bible and test the experiences of false teachers like Jesse Duplantis in light of Scripture and then held fast to that which is good. Here's a clip of Jesse Duplantis talking about heaven, and I'll comment later.
I actually understand the Trinity physically now, that I've seen Jesus come out of Jehovah Elohim God. And I asked that angel, and you know, kind of a dumb question. I said, where's the Holy Spirit? And that angel looked at him, and I could see it in his eyes like, this boy ain't got a lot of sense. I said, I see God, the Father. I see Jehovah, Elohim, Yahweh. I see Christ come out of him. Where's the Holy Spirit? And that angel said, just say, he's on the earth. I said, yeah. That makes sense.
The divided God that Jesse Duplantis is talking about in that clip, which he claims to be a revelation when he goes to heaven, is simply not the God of the Bible. So Jesse's revelation stands in contradiction to the revelation we've already received, and therefore we shouldn't receive the revelation of Jesse Duplantis. But even beyond that, the very notion that he went to heaven and he was in the presence of God is absolutely ill-founded. We cannot go to heaven until we die. And heaven is, in a sense, depicted by Jesus Christ as paradise or Abraham's bosom. It is to be in fellowship with God. It is a relational experience. It's not a locational experience. Secondly, heaven is only going to be a place when Jesus Christ returns. It is paradise lost becoming paradise restored.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you clearing that up for me. And, you know, I wasn't sure, too, about people who die and say that they've gone to heaven and all that, if that's true or how that works. So I just...
No. Again, it's not true. And there are a lot of people that are capitalizing on the biblical illiteracy of people and making these stories up about going to heaven and then telling us what heaven was like and what's going on there. Their revelations don't correspond to Scripture. Most of them don't know how to read Scripture, so even their attempt to harmonize their experience with Scripture is faulty.
Well, I appreciate you clearing that up for me. Thank you.
You got it. By the way, I've written about this very specifically in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, where I take the actual experience of Jesse Duplantis and I unpack it in writing for you. Again, that book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
When was the last time you visited us on our website? It's easy to find at equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you'll find links that will instantly connect you with the latest that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. Seeking answers to your most pressing questions? Click on the Research tab, type in your keyword, and you'll find a vast array of information on your topic. Connect with CRI on Facebook and Twitter, or read Hank's blog. You can also listen to current and past Bible Answer Man broadcast. All this and more when you go to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. profoundly changed America with his nonviolent resistance to racial segregation and discrimination, but his philosophy and theology include some dubious beliefs and influences. In this installment of our Philosophers series, we consider how evangelicals should view this complicated African-American leader whose birthday is now marked by a national holiday. In this issue, you'll also find insightful articles on the biblical view of divorce and remarriage. How should Christians handle tithing in the current economic climate, the internet mission field, and all of our regular features that you've come to enjoy?
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.